And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I am talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, all the way down even to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And yes, there are big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. A few more text messages. Get those cleaned up and honor the fact that y'all are participating in the show. Brian S. from Huntsville. He said, I've heard others say the Cybertruck looks like a dumpster, and I can't disagree. You know, I always look at it, too. Here's my thought on the Cybertruck. I know you think it's cool. I'm not trying to offend. But I look at it and think, I think Elon Musk thought, right now, I could do no wrong. I could sketch this out on a napkin and put wheels on it, and people would buy it. You know what? Do that. And that's what he did. I could have designed that. My neighbor's cat could have designed that truck.
And by the way, I completely understand and acknowledge people's animosity or dislike towards it, because it is a funky-looking design. And I was kind of on the fence about it at first, but I think it's the fact it's indestructible that it piqued my intrigue. Yeah. And then over time, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. It's the Joe Rogan Elon podcast where they stopped the podcast to go shoot a bow and arrow to see if it would break through, and it didn't. and literally Joe was like, I bet you $20 a can. Elon goes, let's just do it right now. And he goes, okay, we're going to take a break here, buddy. And then it cuts, and they come back. He's like, wow, it didn't break it. I think ever since then, I was like, that is cool.
I don't know. I just look at it and think, you know, I'm not commenting on the technology. I'm not commenting upon the reliability or the strength. I'm just saying the exterior design is a nothing burger. Yeah. It is like, it was like, okay, let's have a third grade competition of who could design a truck. And this one won.
The newer ones, I don't know names, but they just had like an event where they showed off some future designs, and they're like really futuristic. Like literally picture 3050 cars, like the year 3050, what cars will look like. That's pretty much what Tesla's making. So it's pretty sick.
I could see that. Mm-hmm. I mean, like iRobot kind of cars.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
That too.
I want one that rolls sideways. I do. The whole parallel parking thing. Just pull up next to it and roll me sideways. Dave from Madison says, regarding Kareem calling in yesterday, he says, maybe you could tell Kareem that if he won't buy a steak, that he has to spend $50 in the merch store. Yes, we need that. We need that. And then David at Bucky's checked in. He said, two things. Says, one, Phil, we've added charging stations here at Bucky's since we opened. The Tesla-compatible stations were completed a couple of months ago. I haven't seen too many charging since they've been operational. Okay. And then he says, schools up here, this is Huntsville, and Redstone Arsenal's Child Development Center are closed tomorrow. Up to 2 inches of snow expected in Huntsville. What? Really? I believe it when I see it. He says, I'm off, so I'm just staying home and keeping warm. Wow. Well, David from Bucky's, thank you for the weather report. And JP, are we getting any down here where the studio is?
I was just about to say, South Huntsville is getting nothing but rain.
Nothing but rain and cold.
Cold rain. Yep.
Cold rain sucks.
Yeah.
Cold and rain together is a bad combination.
Cold anything. Yeah. I mean, the only thing that I enjoy from cold is
old bones like mine. All right. I've got a whole section here, a third dipper, and I'm not going to get all of it, but I'm going to touch on one thing. I want to update a story that I broke yesterday that came out while we were on the air. There was a story that came out that I'm totally changing gears, by the way. Serious business. Let's talk about the southern border. There was a story that broke yesterday, and I think Benny Johnson, who I follow on Twitter, or X, is the one who said it, that I saw first, that the Mexican Senate had agreed to allow U.S. special operations to enter Mexican territory in the war against the cartels. And it was the way he wrote it sounded like, oh my gosh, it is game on. They're saying, we need help. Come help us. Go to work, fellas. And next thing you know, SEAL Team 6 is going to be down there in the jungles, you know, scarfing people up like, you know, who knows. That's not what's happening. I'm not saying this is not a big deal, but still, what is happening right now is something that is actually, t- typical in the regional security and enhancements of military cooperations and all that. Anyway, the bottom line is this. This is apparently no more than a JSET mission. JSET being a joint capabilities exercise for training. JSET mission. Special Forces does this all the time. They haven't done it with Mexico. That's the point. This has not been a big play for U.S. Special Forces. If you're not familiar with the mission of the Green Berets, I mean, people think of Green Berets as Rambo, and they can be. There's some bad dudes in U.S. Special Forces. I've been with many of them. I used to be assigned to 20th Special Forces Group 2, and I worked with them downrange. There's some bad hombres in Special Forces. However, what people would forget is that their original underlying mission is a lot of times what is known as FIDUW, Foreign Internal Defense and Unconventional Warfare. And one ODA, that's a 12-man team of Special Forces, one ODA, Operational Detachment Alpha, can go in behind the lines and then build itself a battalion of indigenous fighters. What am I saying? Special Forces' underlying mission is to be a force enabler and to grow a force wherever they are, meaning that they're expert trainers. Part of the graduation exercise from the Special Forces qualification course at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, is to go through the entire process of what it would take to insert your team, make contact with the G forces, the guerrilla forces in an area, and then gain their trust and cooperation, and then begin to train them in military skills so they can be fighters of their own. Having said all that, what is happening right now is we have multiple Special Forces groups. That's the name for the large-scale units. This would be like a brigade size element in terms of, you know, transition, not infantry, it's Special Forces. This is an 06 command position. 7th Special Forces Group are the Spanish speakers, if you will. They are the ones that are regionally oriented to the South American, Central American area, and they are the ones going into Mexico, but not in mass. So this story, now I went ahead, there's a website I go to periodically called SOFREP. SOFREP is all the news geared towards special operations. SOFREP is reporting that the U.S. Army's 7th Special Forces Group will be deploying a team, that's 12 men, to Mexico to provide specialized training to the Mexican Marine Infantry. All right. This is significant, but it is not at all a war against the cartels moment. All right. We did not just launch a bunch of Rambos into the jungle and we're going to watch them go into the next Vietnam. And no, what we're not. But what we are seeing, though, is a level of military cooperation that hasn't been there. This one ODA is going to go down there. It's going to train the Mexican Marines. And that's a big deal. I will say this. That's a big deal. And I would bet that a part of that is Trump's commitment to them. I would guarantee you that president to president, Donald Trump to Gloria Sheinbaum. Gloria? Is it Sheinbaum? Is it Gloria Sheinbaum?
That sounds correct. I know it's Sheinbaum, but...
Anyway, I still think that sounds like a Jewish grandmother from New York. But anyway, yeah. President Sheinbaum and President Trump.
It's Claudia Sheinbaum.
Claudia, thank you. I'm betting that what we're seeing right now is a piece of that conversation they had about the border. And Trump saying, you need to put your own military on the border, and her agreeing to do so. Thousands of Mexican military troops are now on the southern border. But one of their most elite forces is the Mexican Marines. And the Mexican Marines, they do all kinds of interdiction operations off their coast. They're the ones trying to stop some of the drug trafficking, allegedly. Well, the Mexican Marines are about to get some major plus-up training from the 7th Special Forces Group for the United States. And that may have happened before. Some of you SF guys that are out there right now might tell me, but I do not recall. I mean, we've done plenty of stuff in Hondo. I mean, Honduras, Nicaragua, down in Central and South America, we've done a lot of stuff. Even in the Caribbean, I do not recall Mexico. I mean, I went down with 20th Special Forces Group to Panama. We had it going on down there. I do not remember Mexico. My point in saying that is this is a level of military cooperation that has not been there before. I think it's also significant because I bet it will plus up. I bet what you're going to wind up having is 7th Group's going to do a testbed operation. And they're going to do this one short JSET mission with Mexican Marines. It's going to go well. It's going to go swimmingly. And then you're going to wind up seeing two teams go down. And then you're going to wind up seeing an entire B team, which is like an entire company, if you will, of these ODAs. And they're going to set up a JSET camp and a rotation of ongoing training. You watch. I bet we're going to see the Mexican military benefiting from the fact that Mexico has agreed to help with their border. That's what I see right now. This is not a war on the cartels that I thought it was going to be. I'd hoped it was going to be. Although I'm still going to say someday soon, you may wind up seeing something blow up in the jungle. Just saying.
By the way, I didn't want to interrupt your train of thought, but you notice how you didn't have to say Fort Bragg. Oh, sorry, Fort Liberty. It's just Fort Bragg. Kept going.
I didn't even think about it. Yeah. There was no caveat. There's no hyphenated name now.
Nope. Fort Bragg. I mean, Fort Liberty. Nope. Fort Bragg.
You know, libs always hyphenate names, too.
Yeah. That's...
It could have just easily been Fort Bragg Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, Fort Bragg is back. All right, let's take the last break of the day there, JP. Last break of the day. Going to come right back, and I'm setting aside some of my materials and saving them for tomorrow because this Border Warriors thing, y'all, when I get back tomorrow, and I'm going to probably add to it, I'll be telling you about the Sinaloa cartels. Are they in America? Apparently. And then how about this? What's going to happen if the U.S. military has to chase somebody across the border into Mexico? And is the CIA playing a role? And are there landmines and drones going? Yeah, all of it. I'll tell you about that more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.